Welcome to the podcast at High Ridge Church right here in Longview, Texas, a place where the Word of God becomes a way of life. Our hope is that this resource will help you to know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, and ultimately to make a difference. We invite you to open up your heart and get ready to hear what God wants to speak to you through this message. Let's listen in. How you doing this morning? Well, welcome to church, everybody. I'm so glad that you made it. You look great. Tell your neighbor you smell good. Thank you for taking a shower this morning. I appreciate that. We all appreciate it. Grab your Bibles, if you would. Proverbs chapter 24 and Genesis chapter 2. Proverbs 24, Genesis chapter 2. We're going to continue on with our series called Fixing Us, all about relationships, all about not only what God wants for the church, but what God wants for each and every family. And I love that our church has always been built on a foundation of healthy families. I believe healthy things reproduce healthy things. That's my heart as your pastor. The heart for this church is that we would be healthy in the context of our relationships. I think that many of us have built our relationships on a foundation of just whatever our parents did. We just do it from the best example that we know. The only example that most of us know is just watching mom and dad. And you know, we get into our marriages, we get into our relationships, and we just do it like we've seen it modeled. But yet God's word tells us this in Proverbs chapter 24, starting in verse 3. Read along with me if you would. It says, by wisdom, a house is built. And I don't want you to overlook that scripture. You're going to need wisdom to build your house. Not just tradition, not just the way mom and dad did it, not just the way that you've seen it happen on TV, because everyone knows that, hey, Leave It to Beaver is not real. You know, Joan just doesn't sit around all day vacuuming in high heels. I've never seen a woman do that. That's not a thing. This is, by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is made strong. God wants to make your family strong. You need to get that into your mind this morning. Everything that we do is based upon that God has a heart for your family, for your marriage, to make it strong, and it's built on a foundation of wisdom. It says, by knowledge its storerooms are filled with riches of every kind, rare and desirable. So in order to tap into the things that God wants to put into your marriage, we're going to need wisdom. We're going to need some knowledge. We're going to need God's understanding, because he wants to invest some very rare things into our marriages, into our homes. In order to tap into all that, we've got to get into his word. The Bible tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So learning how to embrace and encounter God gives us the wisdom to be able to build our foundation in our marriages, and also the foundation of our church. Now, when my wife and I first moved to Longview, we were looking for a home, and we rented a home from one of our church members for several months, but the rest of the time we looked at homes, and we probably looked at 90 homes. And after a while, they all look the same. They're all ranch-style homes. They all have the same outside, the same interior, and you're like, they just kind of run together, you know? If you've ever been in the home market, there's not a whole lot to choose from here. It's pretty much one kind of home. And so we looked at home after home after home. And I said, well, what about this area? There's some really nice homes in this area. And they said, oh, you know, if you're from Longview, you know that you don't buy a house on the 4th Street area. I didn't know that. They said, you know, the houses are cheaper here and you may like them, but they've got one big problem that all the homeowners would tell you. And what is that? Foundation issues. They're built on some sort of fault, and every house there has to deal with foundation issues. You're going to pay a lot of money to fix the foundation of any house built in the 4th Street area. And thank God for that local wisdom, because we ended up not buying a home there. Thank you, Lord. I don't want to have to deal with that. But there's a little bit of wisdom that was able to be imparted to us that kept us from making a mistake. And God is saying the same thing to you. 50% of marriages end in divorce. That means that a lot of them are built on a huge fault line. And God's saying, I want to show you something better. Let me give you some of my wisdom and show you that you're going to build it on a better foundation. The foundation is the Word of God. And so in order to be able to experience God's favor, we've got to build our home, build our future on what God's word says it's to be built on. And so in order to understand that, we've got to get to the foundation of marriage. Let's go back to the very, very beginning, Genesis chapter 2. And please, if you're single or if you're single again, don't check out of this message, because there's plenty of things in this for you as well. Things that I wish someone would have told me before I got married, and things I really wish someone would have told me before I got married again. Genesis chapter 2, starting in verse 18. Let's pick it up here. It says, then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. Several women in this place need to give a good amen right there. It's not good for man to be alone. It says, I will make a helper who is just right for him. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, which wasn't hard, by the way. It didn't take a miracle. It says, while the man slept, the Lord God took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Thank you, Lord, for remembering to close up the opening. Then the Lord God made the woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. At last, the man exclaimed, which means I am tired of looking at the giraffe and thinking, well, I guess I can make it work. I don't know. Come here, long neck, you know. No, he says, at last, the man exclaimed, this is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. In other words, she looks like me, but better. At last, it says, she will be called, whoa, man, because she was taken from man. So this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife. There's another moment for some of us to amen right there. This is why you're supposed to leave your mom and dad and be joined to your wife. It says, and the two are united into one. Or your Bible may say the two become one flesh. God puts them together, unites them. God presents the woman to the man, and he's like, that is good. That is real good. So here's God showing us through his word that he created marriage. You don't get to redefine it, make it what you want. God defines it from the very beginning. It's a sacred thing to us. That's why it's important that we can't just make marriage into whatever you think it should be. Well, I'm going to marry my dog. That's not a thing. This is important. This is very sacred to us. It's not defined by culture. God created marriage. The second thing God's words tells us is that he sustains marriage. God is the one that keeps us together. We're united into him. The Bible says that a three-cord strand is not easily broken, talking about the presence of two people inviting the Holy Spirit into their marriage. The last thing that the Word of God tells is not only does he create it, not only does he sustain it, but God will govern it. God judges how we treat each other. You will stand before the Lord at some point and give an account for how you treat your first ministry. It's a big deal. You're going to give an account to God and say, God, this is what I did with the person that you gave me. You're not going to be like Adam and say, hey, that was her fault. That wasn't me. She made me apple pie. I didn't know that it was from the apples that you said don't eat. That's not my fault. No, that's not going to work. God judges marriage. God sustains it. God has created it. I was reminded of a guy that was talking to his friends, and they were all discussing their different marriages, and of course sitting around and doing what guys do. They're talking about their wives. And one guy says, well, my wife and I are doing really, really well now. We've gotten into some counseling and things are going well. And the other guy says, that's not for us. He said, why not? He said, well, you know, my wife was a communications major in college and I was in the theater arts, so we work really well together. And he says, what does that have to do with a good marriage? He said, well, she communicates very well and I act like I'm listening. It works for us. You know, I think many of us don't really realize how unhealthy our marriages can get, and it happens so quickly. The enemy will come in and begin to destroy hearts, begin to change minds, begin to pull us away from that foundation to build it on shifting sand. And so in the very first week of this series, I gave you 10 of the most common things that we've seen in areas of premarital counseling and marital counseling. If you want to go back and listen to that, you're welcome to. But I want to give you this week 3 signs of an unhealthy marriage. And once again, I want to remind you, I've laid 2 ground rules every single week. Rule number one is you have to listen for yourself. Don't elbow your spouse and say, this message is for you. You need to get her, pastor. That's not it. No, listen for yourself. Number two, receive grace if you've messed up. I love the fact that Jesus covered every piece of truth with grace. He knows how to speak to us in a way that we can change and inspires us to keep going and getting better. Receive grace if you messed up. So number one, hear for yourself. Number two, receive grace if you find yourself at the center of this message. So 3 signs of an unhealthy marriage. If you're a note taker, go ahead and write this down. Number one is the failure to prioritize each other. And we see this happening in a lot of marriages. But notice in verse 18 of Genesis chapter 2, it is said, God himself says, it is not good for man to be alone. And men, you need to hear this as well. When you continually pull away, when you're separating from each other, when you don't want to be at home, something is wrong. There's a huge alarm light that should be coming on the dashboard of your life saying, danger, 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 warning, warning, warning. This is unhealthy. This is unhealthy. It's not good for a man to be alone. I remember one time that my wife went to a 3-day women's conference, and this was not good for me. By day 3, I noticed that the dog kept just staring at me. And so she called me, how's things going? I'm like, it's going really well. I mean, everything's fine. The house didn't burn down, but the dog keeps staring at me. She's like, what do you mean? I said, just staring at me. Just it's in front of me. Just stares at me. She goes, "Have you fed the dog?" I'm like, "Oh no, it had been 3 days. I'd forgotten to feed the dog." I said, "You know, it is not good for a man to be alone, because you always feed the dog, and when you're not there, I don't know how the dog gets fed. I just figured, just put it in the backyard, let nature take its course. It'll figure it out." That's not what happened. It's not good for a man to be alone. No, we're designed biblically to be united together, to draw strength from one another, to encourage one another. This is where God put a support system in place. God designed us to be friends, to want to hang out with each other, to help. But things are going to compete for your time. They're going to try to rob you of that time, that quality time spent together. I love that my wife is my best friend. And I know the consequences of not making her that. But we're designed to spend time together. And so we prioritize it. We have to make sure that we fight for that time. You're going to get busy. Life happens. Kids happen. Jobs happen. Extracurricular things. Oh, man, as soon as you think, "Oh, I'm finally to the place my kids are sleeping through the night," youth sports comes into play. And it's like, yeah, just kidding. Just kidding. You'll never sleep again. Life is going to try to rob you of that quality time, and constant separation and pulling away is a big sign of an unhealthy relationship. Heard a story one time of a marriage counselor that was seeing two people for the first time, a husband and a wife, and the husband just sat there, wouldn't say nothing, just folded his arms, not talking, and the wife just went 90 miles an hour, and she goes on and on and on and on and on for about 2 hours. Finally, the counselor could take no more. He couldn't understand why the husband wasn't saying anything. The wife just kept talking. So he just comes around his desk. He grabs the wife's face and gives her a big kiss on the lips. And everything just shuts down. And they're just kind of standing in shock with each other. And the counselor looks at the husband and said, "She needs that twice a week." And the husband said, "Well, I'm free on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I'll bring it right over to you." No. We have to learn to prioritize each other, or someone else will make her your priority. Here's the second sign of an unhealthy marriage that I've seen many times, is when one manipulates or dominates the other. And make no mistake, manipulation and domination are both equally wrong in the eyes of the Lord. It's easy for us to look now at our culture and say, "Well, you know, you can't dominate the other one. We're equal." Yeah, but manipulation is just as bad. And they're both signs of an unhealthy marriage. When one person is manipulating things around to make someone do what they want, or one person is dominating and forcing the other, it's wrong, it's unhealthy, it is evil. God never designed for that to be the case. So notice in the beginning of the foundation of marriage, when God creates man, he does not create woman from a bone in the man's neck or in his head. No, he doesn't. Not saying that she's going to be an authority over him. Notice he also doesn't make her from a bone in his foot. Where does he take the bone from? He takes it from his side. And that's important. God does everything on purpose for a purpose. And he shows us through his creation of what his plan is supposed to be. We're not to manipulate or dominate each other, but we stand as equals before the Lord and help and support each other. You still with me this morning? Manipulation and domination are a sign of a bad marriage. Things are going south really, really quick. I want you to know this, and please hear me. Hear it for yourself and receive it with grace if you find yourself having a tendency to do this. Lots of marriages are built around manipulation and domination. Just do what I do, and then things will be fine. Just do what I say, and things will be fine. You behave. Or, you know what, if you'll just act this way, then I'll give you this. That's manipulation. That's domination. It's evil. No. God's got it built into a much better way. Is that the Lord calling? Hopefully it's not Colette. No, we have to get this worked out of our personality, especially singles, please hear me. If your way is to manipulate and dominate, that's probably a reason why you're going to stay single. No one wants to be married to a person like that. But we've learned it from our parents. We've learned it from other relationships, and it's wrong. It's wrong. Here's the third sign of an unhealthy marriage, is the lack of a unified vision. Amos chapter 3, verse 3 says this: "How can two walk together unless they agree?" How can we walk together unless we know where we're going? How can we walk together if we've not chosen a path that our family should go down? And so when Adam and Eve begin to sin, what's the first thing they do? They start blaming each other. Here's division in the vision. And so sin puts cracks in that foundation and tears them apart. And without vision, they were just existing. We're just floating through life, waiting for the kids to graduate from high school, or waiting for the kids to move out, or waiting for something magical to happen where things will begin to get better between us. It doesn't happen that way. It doesn't happen that way because great marriages aren't built by accident. It takes work. It takes a unified vision. We have to be able to agree on what's important for our marriage. You know, the things that my wife and I have talked about from the very beginning of our marriage is that we had some specific goals in mind. And one of those was to raise emotionally healthy, spiritually mature children. I want them to be able to go and be healthy, mature adults. That's a big goal for us. And when you have that as a unifying vision, then you don't argue about how to discipline and raise children. We have the same goal in mind. We're working together on this. Another goal was letting God use our finances to further his kingdom. We love to give. We love to be generous. And we've done that when there was very, very little money and God's trusted us with more. But that's a goal of our marriage, is to let God use our finances to further his kingdom. After all, it's all his. And the more that we can listen to him and do what he wants to do with it, the more God blesses us with. And I found this to be true. Money has not become a division between us. It's become something that unites us. It's a goal to be used by God to further his kingdom. This is part of our marriage. Another goal that we had from the very beginning was to get as many people saved as possible. That's a goal for our marriage. And so ministry doesn't work in contradiction with our marriage. It's part of one of our goals. It's part of our founding principles. When we're unified, we don't allow those things to draw us apart, but they push us closer together. We're in ministry together. We're raising kids together. We're using our finances together and not in manipulation or domination with money. Does that make sense? Yep. So those are three signs of an unhealthy marriage that I felt like I would take just a little bit of time and spend on those this morning. But I also want to define what is a healthy marriage. We've talked about what's unhealthy. What does it look like to be healthy? Can you really track that? Can you prove it? And I think many of us would say, well, my marriage is healthy, but let me just challenge you. What is that? What is that? Is it a certain amount of money where you don't have to worry about paying bills anymore? Is that to where your marriage gets healthy? Where we're not arguing about finances? Or maybe that's the key, is we know we're healthy when we're not arguing anymore. Now we're healthy. We don't fight. Well, it may be because one has just given up and you're hard-headed. I'm not fighting with you. It's no point. Is that healthy? Is healthy just getting to the place where we don't get on each other's nerves? Is that healthy? What is it? Can we track it? Can we prove it? Can we measure it? I sat in a pastor's meeting last Thursday night in Fort Worth with six other churches, and there was an executive pastor from two huge mega churches and a fantastic man of God that just God has given him a ton of favor everywhere he's gone. And I said, what are the marks of your ministry, would you say these are the most important things? He said, I want a healthy church. It doesn't matter what size it is. I just want it to be healthy. I said, let me ask a follow-up question. He said, what's that? I said, what is health? Can you track it? Can you prove it? Is it a feeling? Is it an amount of money? Because most people would say, well, a church is healthy when it has a lot of people and it has a lot of money. But I've seen some big churches that were extremely unhealthy. I've seen some very wealthy churches that were extremely unhealthy. What is that? And so I want to break down, what is a healthy marriage? What does it look like? I wanted to show you a couple of photos really quickly, if you could. So this is from us. Look at those. That's some good-looking people right there. Woo! Back in the flat belly days. Some of you have no idea what that is. But you know, when I take either one of these two pictures, and if I post the one that you see on your left, on any set of social media platform, I will immediately get, tons and tons of likes. And lots of people are saying, hashtag relationship goals, or this is what I want, or this is what I'm looking for. That's amazing. But you have to understand about this picture on the left, even though it's a great picture, it's staged. We had a professional photographer that took that picture. She took a lot of time with a Photoshop, and she took out the little freckles and the moles, and, she trimmed down the belly a little bit, and she gave me a little bit of darker eyebrows, and It's not real. This is an edited moment in time that people say, oh, I want that. This is what is that? What is that that people want? That, in my opinion, is a marriage that's built on purpose. And to find purpose, we have to focus on the things that are most important. Let me give you what a healthy marriage is. If you're a note taker, go ahead and write this down. Number one, healthy marriages are first and foremost Christ-centered. Christ-centered. Because until each of us are right with Christ, we will have a hard time acting right towards each other. I'm going to say that one more time in case you missed it. Until you're right with Christ, you're going to have a hard time acting right towards each other. So we are not two people that are each halves coming together to make a whole. Jerry Maguire is a lie. You do not complete me. I am complete in Christ. You are complete in Christ. And until we're Christ-centered, you're going to have a hard time having any kind of health. You're going to have tolerance. You're going to have just getting by, just the way we do it. But you'll never have health. Marriage was designed to be focused with Christ at the center. That's what marriage on purpose means. So Matthew 22, Jesus says this. When someone asked him, what's the greatest commandment in the law? What's the thing we're supposed to be focused on? And he says this, many of you know this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Many of us would say, well, I love my wife with all my heart. That may be true. But Jesus says, no, you're supposed to love the Lord first. It starts there. So in a Christ-centered marriage, Jesus Christ is my number one. And my spouse is my number two. You can't get those priorities reversed or you'll never have health. You'll put someone in a position that they could never fill the shoes of. I've learned when I can love Jesus who is perfect, then I can love someone that isn't. And neither of us are perfect. But when you fall in love with him and you know that God is leading you, you can love an imperfect person and you don't have to change them. You can allow the Lord freedom to change them. Only God can change the human heart. Your manipulation and domination will not change it. You will only stifle it or damage it. Healthy marriages are number one, first and foremost, Christ-centered. Number two, healthy marriages are selfless, not selfish. It's two people giving. So this is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. So notice this, when Jesus says the number one first and big greatest commandment is to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second thing is love your neighbor as yourself. So hear me this morning. Your spouse is your first and closest neighbor. How do I love my neighbor? Start with your spouse. I've been surprised that I've seen some unhealthy marriages, especially from the pulpit. Pastors that were really effective and great at loving people, but their marriage was in such turmoil. We've got that backwards. No, it starts with her. If this doesn't work right, nothing I do in ministry will work. God won't bless it. I can prop it up on numbers and money, but if this is not right, ultimately this whole thing is going to fall. You want me to have a good marriage. I want you to have a good marriage. Everything else that you build on is insecure without it. Christ-centered, selfless, not selfish. So when we can value someone else's needs above our own, then when we're looking out for other people's interests, it becomes where it's not about me. That's a much better place. Proverbs 18:22 says this, the man who finds a wife finds a treasure and he receives favor from the Lord. Amen. You find a wife, you find a treasure. You should treat her that way. So men, let me talk to you for just a second. You're going to have a hard time you can't find her until you stop focusing on just yourself and your needs. And women, you will sell yourself short if you don't know your worth. God's word calls you a treasure. A wife is a treasure. She's valuable. She's something to be sought after, not to be an afterthought, not to be thrown away and used and abused. She's something worth finding. When you remember the price that Jesus paid for you and you start living like it, oh, then you become something worth finding. Number three, healthy marriages are future-focused. Future-focused. It's beyond just what we see here, what we're experiencing now, but it's focused on the future because this life is not the end. There is a very real heaven. There is a very real hell. There are eternal consequences for some of our temporary decisions. And when we have our future in mind, when we have God's plan in mind, we stop focusing on the temporary things that get on our nerves. And that doesn't mean that we don't have things that don't get on our nerves. There's plenty. Ask my wife. There's plenty of things that I do that get on her nerves. But she's able to overlook them because it's not about just today. It's about the bigger picture. And she may look perfect, but I'm telling you, that woman will never turn off the light in her closet. It's the truth. Walked by this morning, I'm like, it's not that hard. It's not that hard. And God's like, you're about to talk about healthy marriage. I'm like, okay, Lord. I'm sure there's plenty of things that I'm doing that she would say, it's not that hard. Lord, deal with him. And you've got yours too. We're not perfect, but we're future focused. So let me just tell you this. If you don't hear anything else I say, hear this. And I wrote this down, but you don't build a lifetime of righteousness in the future on a foundation of sin today. So get involved in church now. Deal with pornography issues now. Deal with it today. You don't carry that into your marriage and build a lifetime of righteousness on that kind of foundation. You deal with it now. You start serving now. You get into your word now. Not waiting for someone else to come along and make it palatable. We make decisions now, not when we're arguing. Let's make it now while we're in a good place. Let's make some pre-made decisions. I told you last week that my wisdom is low when my emotions are high. So I don't make those decisions in the heat of the moment. I make decisions now for what's coming. Heard a story about some hunters that took a plane to Alaska, and the pilot drops them off, and they end up going out and hunting. He comes back and picks them up after several days, and each of them had shot 3 elk. And the guy's like, wow, that's really successful. We can't put those 3 elk a piece. You know, that's 6 elk on this plane, plus you guys and your luggage. It's too heavy. The guy says, no, it's not too heavy. The pilot says, I'm sorry, I know how much weight can go on this plane. You can't do that. The guy says, no, we did this last year. I'm just telling you, we can do it. He's like, you did it last year. He said, yeah. He said, all right. So he'd load them all up, and they fly about 500 feet and crash right into the trees and get out stumbling around like, what in the world happened? The guy says, we crashed. He said, well, where are we? He goes, oh, I know where we are. Same place we were last year. You know, if you keep doing the same old things and keep crashing, at some point, the fool is you, you know? We can't just allow ourselves to do the same old things and wondering why God's not blessing it. Oh, we end up crashing in the same place over and over, but this is just how we do it. God wants to build our relationships on a much better foundation. It's one of wisdom, one of understanding, one of his knowledge, and it takes work. So let us help you as a church. I want to give you 4 things, practical things that we can do right now, things that will help you, things that we offer as a church. If you find yourself struggling, or if you say, you know what, I want to get better. And number one is to get in a group. Get in a group. Healthy things will bring health to other things, and this church has a lot of healthy marriages in it. I love that I get to pastor a church where I'm not constantly spending my time going between a husband and wife and trying to fix him and fix her. We don't do a lot of that here because we're a church built on the healthy foundations of marriage. We've got some great examples here. Get in a group. It'll help you. Get around some other healthy couples. I didn't say perfect, but healthy. Get in a group. Here's a second one. Get a counselor. And I want to just tell you this. Do it before you need it. Do it before it's too late. A marriage counselor is not a last-ditch effort. It's a great way to find some practical tools to give you some help. Some of the greatest things I ever found to help our marriages are when we started with premarital counseling. That's what we did. That's difficult to do as a pastor, by the way, to go into a counseling session with another pastor and say, there are things about marriage that I don't know. It's not easy on my ego to do that. You know, after about 9 weeks, I thought, I have learned so much. And most of it is about the things that I did that were wrong. I didn't even realize how big of a deal it was, but it makes sense to me now. Get a counselor. We've referred out several people out to different counselors around the area, and they've come back with some incredible results. Mobberly, by the way, now has an incredible counseling ministry. You're more than welcome to contact them. We also use people like Wood Christian Counseling. We have Pathstone. There's plenty of others that are here. And by the way, they're not expensive. They're really not. I found some that were as cheap as $30. Your marriage is worth that. That's a meal at a restaurant. Invest into your marriage. You can get better. You can learn. Get some counseling. Number three, get away. And I don't mean from each other. I mean with each other. Get away. You know, that failure to prioritize each other is a big deal. But when you can step away from it for a second, it doesn't have to mean you spend a lot of money, but go away together. I've told you guys before that my wife and I, once a year, we'll do a marriage retreat where we do a weekend away, a Friday night and an all-day Saturday. And we spend time going over a list of questions, asking each other, how am I doing in this area? And she would ask me the same thing, how am I doing here? Every part of our marriage, from our finances to our love life to our children to our money, money and finances, same thing. But we ask each other the hard questions. And we've given each other permission to give each other the honest answer. This is the way it should be. But we do this once a year, whether we need it or not. It's still good for us to get back on track with the goals that we've put in for our family. How are we doing with these goals? Are we giving towards the right ministries? Are we hearing from the Lord? Is this the people that we want to support? Or have they perhaps not been faithful and God is leading us to somewhere else? Are we adding someone else to what we're supporting? But this is important for us. We found that it helps us. It could help you too. And here's the last one. Serve together. Serve together. I found one of the best ways to deal with our problems sometimes is to take on somebody else's for just a few minutes, help someone else. In the process, God begins to work on me. And so just a quick story as we finish up this morning. When I fought through a divorce after being married for 13 years and my wife had left, becoming a single dad again was incredibly hard for me. And I thought in my mind, you know, God, I love being married. I really enjoy, you know, the family aspect. I feel like that's just part of my life. I want to do that. But Lord, if I'm not supposed to be married, you know, let me know. But that's still in my heart to do. And God, I want to be married again, but I know that I can easily make really bad mistakes. And so I started dating, and that was a crazy thing in itself. I realized that once you're past the age of like 35, your pickings are slim. And there are some fantastic women that are out there, but most of them, like that, you know, that jump on the train really, really fast, you're thinking, there's a reason why you're single for so long. And so I began to date, and I thought, Lord, I'm going to make a mistake real fast because this is crazy. I don't know what it's like. I haven't dated someone since I was 16 years old, and the game has changed. I'm obviously not up to date with these games that these women are playing. I don't understand which date you call back and what you're allowed to do on this one and that one and how what this means in this body. I can't get it. I don't understand it. God, you have to help me. And so I just determined in my mind that I was just going to serve the Lord. I'm just going to serve. Okay, God, I'm just going to serve you and trust that you've got a better future in store for me than what I'm finding for myself. I'm going to get in trouble. You know, I found my wife serving the Lord. We were building a church, and I remember I was in charge of our media and marketing for the church, and so I was filming a video of watching all our different servants that were coming in and helping to do construction on our church as we were putting the finishing touches on it. And I remember making this video, and I have all this different kind of videotape, and I'm going to show it at our very first service when we move into our building and just have it end with the words, welcome home, you know, all the different kind of time-lapse photography of our church being built from the ground up and just a big celebration moment of how far we had come. And I spent a lot of time on this video. And so as we're in the editing room, I said, you know, I need one shot of a person serving with a big smile. And I want to put it like in slow motion and say, welcome home, you know, because I want to give that sense of, hey, we're so proud of all the people that have served. And so we started digging through the footage, and I saw this beautiful tall blonde on a ladder painting. I'm like, whoa, hey, back it up there. Back it up. Slow it down. And in slow motion, I see her turn around and gives the camera a big smile. I'm like, that's the shot right there. Oh, that's it. Who is that? Because I noticed on that hand with the paintbrush, there's no wedding ring. Hello. The Lord is my shepherd and he knows what I want. That's where it started. I found my wife serving. And if you're single, if you're single again, if you're married and looking to make your marriage better, serve together. Serve. This is where God begins to endear you to each other as you're laying down your own issues and focusing on what God says is important Get behind what God is doing. Use your finances to bless his kingdom, bless his purposes. This is the way that we do it. This is where health comes from. Make sense? Hey friends, this is Pastor Tim once again coming to you from High Ridge Church right here in Longview, Texas. I want to thank each of you for listening personally to this message, but I need you to understand that this is not a replacement for a good church home. So if you're ever in the Longview area, we would love to see you and meet you and hear your story and hear what God's doing in your life. So drop by one of our Sunday services. If you want to check us out online, that's perfectly okay as well, highridgelv.com. Let me just talk to you for one last moment about your walk with Christ. Maybe you're watching today and you're saying to yourself, Pastor, if I'm going to be really honest with you, I don't know where my walk with Christ is. I'm not sure if I've asked him in my heart. I'm not sure what happens at the end of my life. Or maybe you're saying, I used to walk with God, but I've gotten away from him. Friend, whether you've never asked Christ into your heart or you've walked away from him, I believe that if you could see it right now, God himself is reaching down his hand to you. This is your moment. This is your opportunity. I found myself in the exact same place many years ago, and I didn't know what to do, but I knew that something needed to change. I needed help. Somebody loved me enough to help me. It led me to a simple prayer, and I'd love to have the same wonderful opportunity to do that with you as well. So if that's you today and you've never asked Christ into your heart, or maybe you used to walk with Christ, but you walked away from him and he knows it, you know it, then let me pray this prayer with you. You can say this out loud or in your heart right where you are. I believe that God will hear this prayer and your life will absolutely change today. So pray with me. The prayer goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you came and died but rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for all my sins. I ask you to come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. Forgive me. Heal me. Change me. I give myself to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, friend, if you just prayed that prayer with me, I am so thrilled about the decision that you just made. Would you do me a favor? Go online and send me a message if that's okay. highridgelv.com/contact and click on the tab that says send us a message. Let us know what just happened inside of your heart so we can send you some resources and help you out in your walk with Christ. That would mean a lot to us if you would. I want to say a very special thank you for your generosity, for your tithes and offerings. The way that you guys have financially supported us is just incredible. We could not do it without you. If you'd like to financially support us as well, you can go to highridgelv.com/give. If you'd feel so inclined. So once again, thank you for tuning in. We love you. God bless.